Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the world continues to wonder and shake its head, their heads collectively, at the election of Donald Trump. The controlled media, the Marxist jihadist enemies of the United States, funded by George Soros and his revolutionary comrades, including certain members of Congress, are still seeking to do what they can to collapse the administration newly coming. They're spreading lots of rumors. There's lots of things going on, as you know. And if you listen to the controlled media, which I don't recommend, you're finding that they are doing that. As I look at frontline news right now, I see that across the world, the President, Obama, is over meeting with Angela Merkel, and there are headlines that say the globalist plotting survival. There's a lot of things happening around the world today, and we've been trying to, in these last days, bring unique perspectives to bear to help understand this whole issue as it's unfolding. And we're going to bring in today a special guest that's not new to Stand in the Gap Today, but he's not with us now for about a month. His name is IQ Al-Rasuli. He is a former Iraqi living in exile. He's the author of the trilogy, Unveiling Islam. And with that, I am going to welcome all of you listeners today to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr, David Kistler, and I will be leading the program today. Gary Dahl is away on vacation. And I'm going to welcome in now, right now, IQ, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's always a joy having you because, some guests, you wonder if they have a firm opinion. When we ask you a question, you never have an equivocating position. You are clear and straight to the point, and that's why we want to have you on here, IQ. You've been traveling for some time. We've missed you having you on, so we have some ground to cover. And literally in the program today, I want to traverse the world in this first segment right here, because in the interim, since you were with us last, we have had a notable election, obviously, on November 8th. You do not live in the United States. As you have said before, you're overseas. You give us a perspective that is very, very unique, both from being overseas, plus also being a world expert on Islam and an Iraqi, born Iraqi, but you're now living in exile. I want to start with asking your opinion. I'll tell people where we're going to go. We're going to get your opinion, your personal opinion on this election here. We, on the segment two, are going to get your update on really the reactions of the European leaders, the European citizens, and the European jihadists to the election of Trump. Then we're going to go to to Russia, and get your opinion what's happening there with Putin and Russia in regard to the election of President-elect Trump. And then we're going to end up in the Middle East. So we're going to be going to the hot spots of the world. Your opinion and input will help us a great deal. Let me start with this right now, IQ. Did you expect Donald Trump to actually win the presidential election? I know you wanted to because you were one of the first guys on this program during the presidential primary. When all the Republicans were there, we asked you a question months ago who you thought the Islamic jihadists of the world would prefer least to have elected. And you said right off the bat, they hate Trump. Well, he's now there. So let me ask you this. Were you surprised? And what did you feel when you actually saw the numbers coming in that was indicating that actually Clinton was losing and Trump was winning?
I don't want to sound arrogant, but if you listen to other radio interviews I had 10, 12 months ago, I had absolutely no doubt, none whatsoever, that Donald Trump will win, and I'll tell you why. Everything he stated from the very beginning was music to my ears. I'm not an American, but I know more about America, and I love America more than many Americans in the United States. What did he say? He said, close the borders. I agree. He said, we should worry about Muslims coming into America. 100%. I agree. Bring jobs. I agree. Bring industry. What did he say was wrong? So he was articulating what most Americans couldn't articulate. Why? Because under 8 years of Obama and Hillary Clinton, the political correct police state imposed upon the Americans to close their mouth shut. He articulated what millions of Americans wanted to say. Personally, honestly, I had no doubt. And I'll tell you what, on the 8th of November, literally a few hours before the 8th of November, I had a radio interview with America. Mm-hmm. And they told me, what are you going to do tonight? I said, I'm going to go to sleep. And I did. No, honestly, I did. And I got a phone call. I got an email from America at 4 o'clock in the morning, my time in Europe, to tell me that Donald Trump is winning. I replied, wait until it is a fact. And it was a fact. I tell you something. It is as if by divine providence that on 11-9, which is the 11th of September, sorry, 11th of November, I apologize, 9th of November, because I'm talking American style now. It is as if by divine providence that on the 9th of November, the reverse of 9th of September, by the way, the figures are 11-9 and 9-11, we, the people of the USA, elected Donald J. Trump to be the 45th president of the Republic. I mention divine providence because the odds that he would have succeeded were 130-1 against. And yet, Donald J. Trump was able to awaken and energize millions of otherwise apathetic Americans to hopefully first stem and then reverse the downward spiral to self-destruction in the last 8 years of the Obama administration. Hence, 11-9 is the triumph of Trump's will and perseverance against all odds. 11-9 is the rising of the American phoenix after the downfall of 9-11. No other American could have done this. None that has even had, you know, a pigment of anybody's imagination. What do you think?
IQ, let me just jump in here and say this. That is a phenomenal observation that you have just made. Sam, we've not heard anybody use that kind of contrast between 9-11 and 11-9. That is incredibly astute on your part, IQ. Let me ask you this, if I could, very, very quickly. I think you have used the term, and maybe some others have maybe used the term as well, the resurrection of the United States to describe what happened on the 8th of November. And of course, on the 9th of November, 11-9, you're calling it, the awareness that Donald Trump is going to be the 45th president of the United States. You have called that a resurrection of the U.S. What did you mean by that? Are you saying that America has come back, or is this a reflection of what you and a host of others are hoping will happen, that this will be the stimulus for America to come back from the brink?
Yes, America was going down. And if Hillary Clinton became president, America would have been free. By the way, I'm not exaggerating when I say Donald Trump would have saved Western civilization if he does what he promised he will do.
IQ al-Rasuli, former Iraqi living in exile now, author of the trilogy Unveiling Islam, giving us a very unique perspective, someone living overseas, of the election. Amazing, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be, the rest of the program is going to be a lot like this. In the second segment, we're going to move into the understanding of what the European leaders think about Trump, what the citizens think about Trump, and what the jihadists in Europe think about Trump. Stay tuned. You're going to enjoy this.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Virginia, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Jesse James was killed. Telephone lines connected New York and Chicago, and international time zones were set. This all happened during the term of President Chester Arthur, who died this day, November 18, 1886. The son of a Baptist minister from Ireland, Arthur became an abolitionist lawyer defending the rights of blacks and served as Inspector General during the Civil War. When James Garfield was assassinated, President Arthur wrote, "The deep grief which fills all hearts should manifest itself with one accord toward the throne of infinite grace. We should bow before the Almighty and seek from Him consolation in our affliction."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. It's the week after a momentous election, and so I thought it would be worth taking a bit of a look behind the numbers and not about just who won or who lost. So here goes. Planned Parenthood spent a ton of money this election. They bought a $1.3 million ad buy against Senator Pat Toomey. And it's reported that they spent $30 million in various states, including Pennsylvania, to turn out voters for the presidential contest and for various U.S. Senate races. They mailed hundreds of thousands of flyers, and they boasted their largest volunteer base for the country being right here in Pennsylvania. Their focal point in Pennsylvania was spending against Trump and Toomey. Planned Parenthood, an organization receiving hundreds of millions every year in taxpayer dollars, lost out on both. Find out more about us and our work at the Pennsylvania Family Institute at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, IQ Al-Rasuli, our special guest today, we're glad to have you back, and you didn't disappoint us in the first segment. Your yay is our yays, and your nay are nays, and that's exactly the way we'd like it on this program. Tell the truth and spell it clearly. And I now want to move from your opinion, as you were expressing on the first segment, yours and other folks overseas, to the election of Donald Trump, and you made a very, very great good point. That it's ironic that on 11/9 we have nearly an exact opposite to what we had on 9/11. Great point. And that's going to be worthy of some additional thinking, I think, on our part. There's a lot of comparison to be made. But let's stay now in Europe, and let's travel across there. I have three questions for you. Let's take one at a time. One is that the opinion of the European leaders, because almost immediately the night when the numbers were coming in, most of the European leaders, at least the globalist types, were obviously dismayed. Angela Merkel, the president of French president, they were beside themselves. But if I recall, the Hungarian president was very much in favor. Now, this is my first thought here I want to ask you. It seems that the opinion of the leaders tended to be whether or not they were supporters of the European Union, the one world government, or whether or not they were actually people perhaps who were favoring a more populist position, perhaps. That's just an observation. Tell us, IQ Avrasouli, how you are seeing the attitude of the European leaders as they are now speaking out and perhaps aligning in relative position to the new Trump-Pence administration.
By the way, your analysis is absolutely correct. The globalist leaders in Europe were against Trump. They were against him even the day he said he wanted to become a president. Everybody laughed at Trump. Everybody thought he was a joke. Everybody denigrated him. And I mean by everybody, I mean every leader in Europe. All the media in America, all the media in Europe, and I mean all, you know, if you have one media out of 100, I'm not interested. All the media, all of them were against him. All of them thought he was a joke. He's not a joke, he's a joker. He's a joker in the pack of games. He trumped them. Donald Trump trumped all of them.
That's a great analogy, IQ.
IQ, you are on a roll today, my friend. These are excellent analogies that you're using. I want to ask this question, if I could, as a follow-up. What can you tell us about the attitude of the citizens of Europe, more specifically the citizens of the UK, those who voted for Brexit? Of course, Donald Trump encouraged, you know, the Brexit vote, encouraged the UK to pull out of the EU. What are you sensing from the citizenry on the ground in Europe, more specifically in the United Kingdom?
In Europe in general and United Kingdom specifically, they have exactly the same aspirations as what happened in America. All the opposition parties in Europe were ecstatic that Donald Trump won, all of them. I'm talking about the opposition parties. Marine Le Pen in France, Geert Wilders in the Netherlands, all of the other all of them were extremely happy. Why? They don't want globalism. Mm. They are nationalists. They're not populists. They are nationalists. They're not national socialist Nazis. They are nationalists. What do I mean by nationalists? They want their borders. They want to have their own identity. They don't want to be flooded by millions of non-assimilating, treacherous, treasonous, mass-murdering Muslims. Do I make myself clear?
I think I can figure out what you're saying, IQ, and most of our listeners are very bright people, too, so I think they've got it just as clearly as we did. Let's follow up on that a little bit. There were many people who were...
With all due respect, let me explain something to you. Western Europeans are from the Eastern Europeans. What do I mean by Eastern European? The nations such as Hungary and Poland, who were under the Soviet Union, who understood exactly what totalitarianism is, they know what Islam would do to them. That's why Hungarian leaders, the Polish leaders, the leaders in Slovakia, all of them supported Trump 100%. Why? They want their national identities to remain. They don't want to be flooded by foreigners. They don't want to be part and parcel of any other group. They want to continue to have nice relationship with every neighbor, but they want to be Hungarians. They want to be Poles. They want to be English.
Well, you're describing, IQ, what many folks said, and the individual from Holland was one, or Belgium, I think, made the comment that really what we were witnessing was a movement led by this individual called Donald Trump. Now, that's what you're saying. Now, let me move on to the other, and then we'll come back and follow up on this. Let's go to the third category of people. You're talking about the citizens generally were interested in, are very glad for the election because they want their borders. They want just to live in peace and be called, if they're British, they want to be called British. If they're Hungarians, they want to be Hungarians. Now, the Muslims that you mentioned, the Islamists that have invaded Europe and Britain, they are there. That's a whole different ballgame. I can't believe that they were happy. So tell me what you are finding their response to be now at to the election of Donald Trump.
Every single Muslim, and I'm not generalizing, I'm specifically saying, every single Muslim, because they are Muslims, they whine, they're like crybabies. They always pretend they are the victims. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1400 years of history, Muslims have never been victims. Muslims have always been the victimizers. That's why they conquered three continents, subjugated hundreds of millions of people, slaughtered hundreds of millions of people. Now, every Muslim in America supported, literally every Muslim in America supported Hillary. Why? Because she said open borders, music to their ears. In Europe, the same thing. By the way, what's happening now in Europe, I'm going to predict on your show. 2017, there are going to be elections in Europe. And I hope, and sincerely hope, that the French people, the Italians, the Dutch will do to their leaders exactly what the American people did to the elite in America. Overthrow them.
Well, I think that's a great...
Overthrow
well,
them.
I think that's a great goal. I mean, a great goal and something to hope for. Let me put into this framework, IQ, this question. If, in fact, what you say is true, I'm not saying if, but I'm saying since what you're saying is true, be it in the United States or... be it in Europe, the Muslims that are there, the jihadist movement that were planning really on a Hillary election, on the furtherance of one world government election, they were obviously anticipating for a greater and greater role. But now that appears to be diminishing. And from what we are finding in the Trump administration, his appointment of people going forward, it's likely that he may actually and identify the Muslim Brotherhood here in the United States as they are terrorists. What do you expect that we will see from the Islamic movement and the jihadists in Europe and the United States in this window here in the remaining couple of months of an Obama administration that coddles them and a Trump administration which will absolutely change their entire standing? What do you see and forecast happening?
It is possible that they will assassinate him. There will be an attempt on his life.
You're talking about Donald Trump.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I said I'm talking about Donald Trump.
Yep.
Look, Pastor, you know very well that based entirely upon the Islamic scripture of Quran and Hadith. And Quran and Hadith are the foundations of Sharia. No Muslim, I want to make myself clear, crystal clear. I mean, anyone who submits to Allah's Sharia can ever be loyal to the American Constitution, because the American Constitution is man-made, not from Allah Sharia. Nor can any Muslim be loyal to non-Muslim Americans, who are 97% of the American people, because they are called in Islam by Muslims infidels kuffar, eternal enemies of Islam. To make sure that our listeners appreciate the magnitude and truthfulness of my statements, I challenge any listener, the sum of $200,000, to prove me wrong in a live debate on television, and when failed, to pay me $200,000. What do you think?
We like it. We like it, IQ. And thus far, you know, you've issued this challenge a number of times on this program. And of course, no one has taken it up on this program. No one's taken it up with you before. IQ, I want to share something with you. And Sam, IQ, you are so spot on. Last night on Fox News, there was a representative of the Muslim community who was doing precisely what you said they are doing. And that is this. They were whining and complaining of being the victim of the Donald Trump presidency. IQ, what you said is so accurate. Islam and Muslims have never been the victims. They have always been the victimizers. Sam, this is so critical that our listening audience understand and that America understands what IQ is saying is 100% correct.
Dave, I'm glad that you shared that because, ladies and gentlemen, we know we spend time on trying to unveil, as IQ's book says, unveil Islam. It is a very real and present danger in America today. And understand what IQ said. These folks would like to assassinate this new president-elect. Understand this threat. That's not idle. We need to pray for them. We need to understand what is happening. Now, when we come back after the break, we're going to continue with IQ Al-Rasuli, and we're going to go to what now is the relationship of Russia and Vladimir Putin to the election of Donald Trump. We're going to talk about the Ukraine. We're going to talk about a number of things relative to Russia and to Vladimir Putin. You want to stay tuned and listen to this as well.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions is chosen to become the nation's next attorney general. He was the first senator to endorse President-elect Trump and a close advisor during the campaign.
He has a distinguished legal career and has served as both U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Alabama and as Alabama's attorney general prior to his service in the United States Senate.
As Republican National Committee spokesman Sean Spicer, Kansas Congressman Mike Pompeo is the president-elect's choice to run the CIA, with retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn named National Security Advisor. The current Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, is talking about reports of hate crimes since the election.
Some of these incidents have happened in schools. Others have targeted houses of worship. And some have singled out individuals for attacks and intimidation.
She says in this video message, the FBI is assessing the incidents and that they should be reported to local law enforcement and the Justice Department. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. I'm Laura Pasquale, travel planner for Dog Tag Tours. In honor of WFYL's 5th anniversary in 2017, we have collaborated with the station on a really unique World War II history tour to Europe. The tour's theme,
So Help Me God,
Faith on the Battlefield. The itinerary will explore both battle sites where liberation from the Nazi occupation was achieved and visit sacred places, churches and cathedrals, small and grand, which served as shelters, hospitals, and rally points for those with boots on the ground. A few of the highlights, Normandy, we'll stop at the landing beaches at Utah and Omaha. We'll visit Breakhorn Manor, where Pennsylvania's Major Dick Winters had his first test of leadership. We'll stop at a church where medics treated civilians, American GIs, and even German soldiers. In Bastogne, we'll visit the foxholes, where members of Easy Company struggled during the early fighting in the Battle of the Bulge. For more information, check the WFYL website or go to www.dogtagtours.com. Call 717-417-USA1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
For all of you listening to Stand in the Gap Today, I want to remind you or invite you that you can go to our website at StandInTheGapRadio.com. And pick up archives of these programs, Stand in the Gap Today, as well as our weekend program, Stand in the Gap Weekend, and our daily program, Stand in the Gap Today, or Stand in the Gap Minute. The program today, if you're just tuning in, we have a special guest, IQ Al-Rasuli. He is an Iraqi-born individual now living in exile, and he is one of the world's leading experts on Islam, having written a trilogy of books called Unveiling Islam. He's been on our program many times and never a disappointment. Today on the program, we are using him to give us the international perspective of the election of Donald Trump. So we started with his perspective in segment one. We went to Europe last segment, and now we're going to go to Russia and Vladimir Putin. And with that in mind, let me start now right now with IQ in this regard. There were, before the election, the Clinton campaign, the Clinton Soros Trump campaign tried to link Donald Trump in a wrong way to Vladimir Putin as a way of trying to diminish Donald Trump. It's interesting that the two of these guys do seem to respect each other. And I want to start right out with asking you this question. In your studied perspective, how would you now describe the developing relationship, and I put it that way correctly, developing relationship between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump? And does it, in your opinion, lead to greater peace possibilities in the world or greater hostility possibilities in the world between Russia and the United States or between Russia and Europe?
Very simple. Russia is not the enemy of America. The Soviet Union, communism, was an enemy of America. Russia under Putin is not a threat to America. I want people to understand that. That's why Putin respects Donald Trump. That's why Donald Trump respects Putin. Let's get this straight. Donald Trump doesn't have any assets in Russia. No tower, no casino, and no golf course. But Hillary Clinton gave away 20% of the nuclear, I think, uranium production in America to Russia. But the news media didn't dwell on this. I repeat myself again.
Yeah, say that again, because that was a big
state. Sorry?
I said, do state that again, because that was a very significant statement you just made.
Yes, because it's so important. That's why they don't mention it. Hillary Clinton, a Secretary of State, gave Russia 20% of the productivity of uranium in the United States of America. Don't take my word for it. Google it. And yet nobody mentioned that. They attacked Trump, who has absolutely nothing to do with Russia. Now, Putin and Trump respect each other. Putin and Trump will get on extremely well. I'll tell you why. As we speak, Obama went to Russia, to Merkel in Germany, and again he's talking about Russia as a threat to America. Not true. I want the American people to understand something. The eastern border of Ukraine that the Russians took over should be part of Russia because over 56% of the population is Russian. The Crimea always belonged to Russia. Whether it was the Soviet Union or not, it was part and parcel of Russia. The Russians had a war, the Crimea War. Google it. Understand what I'm talking about. In a fit, Khrushchev, who was of Ukrainian origin, decided to give the Crimean Peninsula to Ukraine. He did it without consultation with the people and without consultation with his own group of communist leaders. He just said back to them. Because he never believed it was conceivable that the Soviet Union would collapse. So I want Americans to understand what Putin did was to assert his legal right to own these places. And Obama and the European Union are out. Literally out of reality. They are not facing facts. They're not willing to face reality. And if they are threatening Putin, Putin is a chess player. That means a thinker. That means a person who looks at the game and anticipates five or six steps ahead. Obama is a golf player. You don't need to think five or six steps ahead.
IQ, let me ask you a question after making an observation. Sam, I think it's very interesting. The respect that IQ is talking about that exists between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin is very much similar to the respect that existed between Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan. The two men mm-hmm. did not see everything eye to eye, of course, but there was an intense respect between Reagan and Gorbachev. And I think that's the point that IQ is trying to make. There is an intense respect from a leadership standpoint between Putin and Trump. So a point very well made. IQ, let me ask you this. It appears as from what we're hearing and what we're reading that very recently in the last couple of days that Vladimir Putin is trying to bomb the living daylights out of ISIS. Of course, Donald Trump has made statements about wanting to eliminate the ISIS threat. The two of these men working together, do you think, in your opinion, they will be effective in either pushing ISIS back or totally eliminating ISIS? Or will there be a response on the part of ISIS within the European theater, that is, more sleeper cells coming alive in Europe and perhaps even coming alive in the United States?
Okay, let's get this straight. Putin has every right to be in Syria. Every right. Why do I say every right? First of all, Syria was always part and parcel of the Russian sphere of influence. It was never part and parcel of the American sphere of reference, and neither to do with Europe. So Europeans and the Americans are the aggressors. I'm telling you, they are, the European Union and the Americans are the aggressors in Syria. After all, you have an elected government. Whether he is a dictator or not is irrelevant. He is the leader of a country who invited Putin and the Russians. Mm-hmm. Gaddafi was the leader of Libya, and what did the Americans and Europeans do? Removed him. And when they removed him, and that was done by the way, Hillary Clinton, not by Obama. Hillary Clinton was the instigator of the destruction of Gaddafi. And then what happened? We have ISIS. I'll tell you what. America alone cannot destroy Islamic terrorism. Russia alone cannot do it. China alone cannot do it. India cannot do it. You need all these four powers together. Russia under Putin, America under Trump will work extremely well together because it's a give and take. Trump is a negotiator. Exactly what you said. Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan, they respected each other. Ronald Reagan did not infringe on Russia. Obama is infringing on the security of Russia. That's why Putin is at loggerheads with him. America should not go to any confrontation with Russia, not because she's afraid of them. No. Neither side is afraid of the other, because it's a mutual assured destruction either way. You should work together. Russian people, by the way, when you go to Russia, Russian people emulate Americans. They love America. They don't hate America. They love America. They love Americans. They want to do the same thing. They aspire to the same goals as Americans. It was their leaders under the Communist Soviet Union that created the confrontation. There's no hatred by Russians against Americans. It doesn't exist. Only the propaganda in your news media and the news media in the Europe. Why? Because they are the globalist ones. No. I don't believe, I'm telling you, they will get on extremely well, and they will work together to destroy ISIS. No question about that.
So IQ, what you're saying, if we look at the Middle East, really, we know that the Obama administration has really been more intent on getting rid of Assad, using ISIS as a tool to do so. Donald Trump is more concerned about getting rid of ISIS than removing President Assad. So therein is where you say we can expect something in Syria to actually resolve itself, perhaps, rather than this continued nonsense that we've been seeing during these 8 years of Obama administration.
Of course, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, Obama has been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood all over the Middle East. He supported Morsi, the one who overthrew the government of
Mubarak.
Mubarak. Thank you very much for reminding me of Mubarak. Mubarak was pro-America. Gaddafi was pro-America. Gaddafi was not creating any trouble anymore. But they removed him. They wanted to bring in the Muslim Brotherhood. No Muslim entity will ever be loyal to America. No Muslim entity will be ever loyal to any non-Muslim entity. That's it. It's very simple.
It is very simple, IQ, and you make it very simple to understand. I wish that those who are in our media would understand a fraction of what you're just saying, but I'm glad our listeners understand. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, David Kistler today, and our special guest, IQ Ar-Rasooli. When we come back in this last segment, we are now going to go to the Middle East, and we are going to get more of a specific input perspective from IQ on the Middle East leaders' perspective and the Muslim countries' response to new President Trump.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
This is At Home with Bella, encouraging parents, educating their children at home.
Today we will talk about Thanksgiving. I'm so glad we have a day set aside to celebrate with our families. I know there'll be lots of fun and laughter and tears as well. Amidst all the shopping for food and cooking and cleaning, can we find some time to thank God from whom all blessings flow? The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from God. God created this world and the people for us to enjoy. Thank Him. It pleases Him. Thank the people you know who have helped you in your life's journey. Teachers, doctors, pastors, or the local businesses, or maybe this radio station. Encourage your children to reach out to others and thank them, either through mail, call, or text. It blesses others.
Bella is an educator who has been home educating her children for 20 plus years through Gamaliel School. She lives in the Philadelphia area. For more on At Home with Bella, or for homeschooling help, contact Bella at bellavictor.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you've enjoyed the program so far. And again, you can get this program, again, listen to it in archive form by going to our website at StandInTheGapRadio.com. The information that you've been hearing today, not only thought-provoking, but I'm assuring you, you're not going to hear this anywhere else. And this perspective, IQ Arasuli, our guest who's with us right now, we appreciate your insight. It is unique. It is straightforward. And there's not a whole lot of mumbo-jumbo with you, brother. It's right up there. So let me go now to the Middle East as we conclude our worldwide trip here right now, looking at world leaders and their response to the new elect team of Trump-Pence. In the Middle East, IQ, a tremendous hot spot. In the last segment, we were talking a little bit about Syria and Russia and where the United States and Trump will be relative to now trying to bear down on the elimination of ISIS. And I would agree with you. I think that together, these two working together have got to push these guys back in the Middle East. However, there is Iran sitting right there. They're a problem. Russia's connected to them, but they sure do hate the United States. You have Israel down there to the south, Benjamin Netanyahu, one of the first leaders to come and congratulate Donald Trump, and one of the first international leaders that Donald Trump has invited to come visit the United States. Iran and Israel, big-time enemies. Into this scenario, how do you think, IQ, a Trump administration will address or affect this tension between Iran, for instance, and Israel?
First of all, the reason Trump supports Iran is because America is supporting the enemies.
Now, wait. Okay, did you say Trump supports Iran? Is that what you said?
I read myself. The reason why Putin supports Iran is because of the enmity between the Obama administration. Now, if and when Trump, they get together, the Putin government does not need Iran. Putin government went to Iran only because it's supporting Bashar al-Assad. But if Putin and Trump get on and they agree that Bashar al-Assad should be there, Iran will be out of the picture.
Now, that's an IQ, I got to step in here. That's a very, very interesting concept that you're saying. You're suggesting that Russia's alignment with Iran is, I'm reading into this, but you're suggesting that that was more of an alignment, perhaps as a chess player, to counterbalance what Obama was doing through this fickless Middle East effort to destabilize the Middle East, more than the fact that Vladimir Putin and Russia really like Iran and what they're doing. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Look, Iran is creating intercontinental ballistic missiles. You don't need intercontinental ballistic missiles to reach from Iran to Israel. So what do you need it for? It's to reach Russia, China, and America. Iran is a threat to all these countries. It's not only a threat to Israel. Iran is a terrorist state. Not the people, the government. It's not a government. It's a theocracy. No. People didn't realize this. 2.5 years ago, on my radio interviews, even more than that, I said, Putin is a born-again Christian. Christian in the sense of Eastern Russian Orthodox Christian. People laughed at me when I said that. No, he's not a communist. He grew up under communism. He was in the KGB. But his mother brought him up as a Christian. She baptized him. People don't read People don't investigate. They listen to the news media. The news media have been lying to you for 60 years, and they continue to lie to you now. They haven't learned anything from the defeat that they received at the hands of Donald Trump. All that... the news media, all the elite people, have not learned an iota of why they have lost. And thank God, they're making more and more mistakes. And the more mistakes they make, the better Donald Trump will look in the eyes of the American people.
I've got to say, that's quite a mind-bending perspective that you're putting out there. I mean, I would agree that if Vladimir Putin would be Christian from the perspective, like many Christians in America, 80% who say they're Christians, but they're not really Christians. They just mean that they're not Muslims. But on the other hand, clearly Vladimir Putin does not favor Islam. He knows that they are an enemy to freedom, and yet he's down there involved in supporting some of those actions, although he does not obviously want to support ISIS. So you're saying better to keep your enemies close, Iran, vis-a-vis Russia, and put the pressure where the real bad guys are, the jihadists, meaning ISIS. But you're painting an interesting picture there, I got to admit.
Well, it's logical. It really is very, it's really very simple logic. Islam is the enemy of every human being on the planet who is not a Muslim. That's 80% of humanity. That's 6.5 billion people. They are the enemies of every human being who is not a Muslim. Russia is not Muslim. Russia is not Muslim. China is not Muslim. India is not Muslim. Israel is not Muslim. They are the enemies of everybody. And they are the ones who whining and crying, baby, ah, we are victims. You're not victims. Give me a Muslim in a debate on television in America. Give me 10 minutes. I swear to you, Islam will never recover. You give me 10 minutes. Islam will never recover. Give me 10 minutes. Primetime television in a debate with a Muslim, any Muslim.
Well,
Sam, I would suggest that IQ debate, Mr. Keith Ellison. What do you think?
I think that would be. I would love to be able to set that up, David Kistler, and have Stand in the Gap today be a sponsor of that. I think that would be. You know what? I'd love to be able to do that because that you talk about presenting information in a clear way to the American people. IQ, I don't have to worry about you being able to handle yourself in that confrontation, but I doubt very seriously whether a Keith Ellison, who may become the new DNC chairman, a Muslim member of Congress, who is a revolutionary, he is. I don't think he'd accept that offer to debate you, IQ.
No Muslim will accept this offer.
Well, you're right. Nobody's
500 million of them. Not one of them would accept this offer.
Well, I tell you, IQ, we're getting close to the program. We've been attempting to close this program in prayer for our country, and I'm going to ask Dave Kistler to do that before he starts. IQ, I want to thank you for being on the program today, for giving us a whirlwind view of the response to Donald Trump across the country, across the world. Excellent. Thank you for what you do. And with that, I'm going to transfer to Dave Kistler right now. If you could close our program in prayer, and pray for those in Washington, the Trump administration, and what they're moving to do.
Be delighted to do it, Sam. Thank you, IQ, for being on with us. Father, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity we have and the venue that you've given us via radio to communicate the truth, not only across the United States, but around the world. Father, I thank you for our friend IQ, who has come on today, and he has certainly given much food for thought. Thank you for his clear and precise presentation with respect to the threat that Islam is, not just to America, not just to the West, but to the world. Father, I pray that you would expand his voice, Lord, as he tries to issue this alarm and has been issuing it for a long time. Father, I thank you also that he just said it today. There are entities out there who would love nothing more than to end Donald Trump's life. Father, I pray for Donald Trump. I pray for Mike Pence. I pray for the entire administration that, Father, you would put a hedge of protection about them. And as they move forward, guide them by your hand. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Enjoy listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.